This is Cultured on Global News Radio 640 Toronto.
Happy Saturday and welcome to Cultured. You're listening to the pop culture show that puts the focus on diversity of people and perspectives. I'm your host, Mira Estrada, along with my wonderful co-host, Sandy Gill. Girl, I have missed you. I know. She's gone too long.
All of Toronto has missed me.
Yes, we have. Anika Elliott is still away doing some big acting things, but she will be back next week. And in the meantime, we have senior national online journalist, Global News, Aarti Patel, filling in the third chair today. Hey, Aarti. So excited to have you guest host with us.
Thanks for having me this week.
It's going to be fun. And I am officially in Diwali mode. Diwali is November 7th, and I hope it goes without saying, you do not have to be South Asian to celebrate the Festival of Lights. Probably good to give everyone a little primer on Diwali. Diwali is a major Hindu festival. It marks the homecoming of Lord Rama after his triumphant victory over demons. But the tradition of lighting earthen lamps, or diya as we call them, serves as a promise to turn darkness into light, spread peace and prosperity, and it's not just a celebration for Hindus. The Festival of Lights is truly celebrated by people worldwide of many faiths and cultures. So today we're going to celebrate some of that light and love with some Diwali fun.
Our Sikh family celebrated. It's actually, a lot of people don't know this. We celebrate Bandi Chhor Diwas, which is on the same day as Diwali, but coincidentally, because one of our gurus was released from prison on the same day. And with him, he released a bunch of different political prisoners, and he brought them out with him. Each of them held on to his gown as they walked out, and they were greeted out of the prison with lights and divas. So that's why we celebrate it.
Awesome.
But it's so coincidental that it falls on the same day.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, Festival of Lights.
I just think now more than ever, like, what a good time to celebrate good over evil. Like,
yes.
People, we need this.
Yes.
Now, right? Anyways, before we get into all the Diwali fun, we always kick things off with the hot topics of the week and what's on the radar. So, starting things off, plus size model Robin Lawley is calling to boycott the Victoria's Secret fashion show in support of body diversity. Lawley was the first plus size model to be featured on Sports Illustrated back in 2015, and now she's continuing to make changes in the modeling industry by calling on people to boycott Victoria's Secret fashion show, along with her social media campaign with @ThirdLove, #WeAreAllAngels. So guys, what are your thoughts on all of this?
First of all, she's gorgeous. I just want to say that you have to look her up if you're listening right now. She's absolutely stunning. I think this is clearly needed. It's an obvious thing that we need to pay attention to. I just don't think that this petition or the whole social media campaign, especially being somebody who's already an influencer, it doesn't always work. And I think a better way maybe to do it is to just do it. And like, she probably, I could be wrong, but she could have contacted Victoria's Secret. I'm sure they wouldn't have said no. They don't put skinny models just because they're not progressive, in my opinion. I think that's just what they've always been doing. And it takes time for a business to break out of that. And maybe they were already planning it. Who knows? Maybe they were always already working towards it, because there's so many big brands that are right now. Fenty has, Rihanna has her lingerie line, then she did her fashion show that was body positive. I just don't think that attacking brands like this on social media, now that we have it, is the best way to do it, because then it becomes very difficult for them to repair that and act on the issue.
Okay, devil's advocate here. Victoria's Secret is not blind to what's going on. Like, we just had the most diverse to date fashion week in terms of New York Fashion Week. Had so much body positivity happening. And I just feel like, looking at this in terms of gaze, I feel like Victoria's Secret tends to look at things from the male gaze versus the female gaze. So what do I mean by that? The male gaze oftentimes tends to objectify women and, you know, look at them, how do women serve men and their interest and progressing their storyline? Not so much as the female gaze of, you know, asserting female dominance and, you know, the female perspective. And you know, I feel like Victoria's Secret doesn't really have the pulse on the female gaze. Are they?
I feel like that. Also, Victoria's Secret has been around for such a long time. And even when you look this week, they just put the Kardashians in a bunch of, you know, Victoria's Secret costumes from the runway. And that was their Halloween costume. Nothing against the Kardashians. I do appreciate their entertainment. But I think kind of on your point is that they have been around for such a long time. They're almost sort of the marker in this industry. Mm-hmm. So if you want to make change, you are the company to do it. You know, just like a Nike. If Nike's going to go and make change of everything that's happening in the NFL, they're the person to do it.
Absolutely.
I think Victoria's Secret is the person to do it. And they should have done it a while ago.
Thank you.
Probably. But it's going to be so hard for them to do it because everybody's hating on them. And I don't think that gets us anywhere either.
Okay. So anyways, let's, on that whole topic of challenging the status quo, I want to talk about a story that Arthi, you actually wrote about. And it was the story of a 5-year-old boy who was teased for wearing nail polish to school. And this broke the internet. His dad made strong arguments about toxic masculinity and how it's actually learned at home. Why don't you, Arthi, weigh in on this? Because, you know, you wrote the piece on it for globalnews.ca.
For sure. So this was a story about a 5-year-old boy, and I feel like it's a relatable story to many 5-year-old kids at home. And he had an interest in trucks just as much as he had an interest in carrying a purse. So he went to school with his nail polish on his fingers. His parents never told him that this was a quote-unquote girl thing or a feminine thing. He just went to school because he loved how nail polish looked on his nails. Turns out kids in his class weren't so appreciative of that. They made fun of him. They bullied him. He came home crying, telling his mother, I need to get rid of this nail polish right now. Like, and his parents were shocked. Like, they were upset. Their child was upset. And it really sort of boiled down to this idea that our children at this age are learning specifically that mm-hmm. things are made for girls and things are made for boys. So the only reason that he was made fun of is because people in his class knew that nail polish was for girls. So his dad sent out this whole sort of segment on Twitter kind of condone, like, going against this. Why are we teaching our children at a young age what these gender norms are?
And I feel like South Asian parents in particular need to pay attention because they are very much about putting those gender rules and boundaries, and it's not necessarily in the benefit of their children.
I have way too much to say, but right now I'm sure we have so much to talk about, and we're just getting started. We have to take a quick break, but lots more hot topics on the radar. Cultured returns after the break on Global News Radio 640 Toronto.
You're listening to Cultured on Global News Radio 640 Toronto.
We are back with Cultured on Global News Radio 640 Toronto. As always, lots of celebrity news on the radar. Priyanka Chopra in Marquesa. This one is causing some contention. Earlier this week, Priyanka Chopra had her bridal shower and wore a Marquesa gown to support her longtime friend and designer Georgina Chapman. The label has been generally shunned by celebs on red carpets since the allegations against disgraced movie mogul Harvey Weinstein surfaced last year. But Priyanka says that the unofficial boycott was totally unwarranted and that, quote, it's not her fault. I have mixed feelings about this, so I'm going to let you guys weigh in first. Arthi, you go first.
You know, it's really difficult when you come with stories like this because everything sort of leads back to the ultimate kind of factor in all this, which is Harvey Weinstein. And my whole thing with this is that so much energy is being focused on, you know, the red carpet and what celebrities are saying or doing. And I think sometimes we kind of forget what the bigger issue of this story is. And it, to me, it really comes back to Harvey. Like, we are spending so much time speaking away from it when that's a story that we should still be focusing on, not mm-hmm. what Priyanka Chopra is wearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I agree with that. And I think that Priyanka's right. Like, it's not her story. It's not, she didn't do anything. So, and she's somebody who is a self-made businesswoman. And now all of these celebrities are no longer associating with her because of the actions of her husband. When in reality, that should just be what we're focusing on. And, you know, she's lost so much support and work because of something that she probably wasn't even aware of.
There's two parts of me. And one part is, was Georgina completely blind in all of this, because maybe she just thought that he was a bit of a douche, like, and hitting on women. I don't know. And that's where I feel so torn. And then at the same time, as a feminist, I don't feel like we should bring any blame to her, and it should be about women supporting women. But then women can also be enablers, and I don't want the Me Too movement just to be about women against men.
I feel like if she was an enabler, we would know by now.
Yeah, and you know, you heard this a lot. It would have come out. These conversations were brought up a lot when these allegations against him came out the first time, and people were like, I'm never supporting his movies again, or I'm never supporting anything that he worked on. When we look back and we think, okay, a production is made with a ton of writers and editors and actors and mm-hmm. actresses, and there's a whole lot of people that go into these things, and he is just, you know, one factor. So, I mean, I don't know what the right answer is. I don't think I've seen a lot of Harvey Weinstein movies. But for me to say I'm never going to watch this film again because this person produced it, it's a lot. It's a lot for these other actors as well.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a lot. Anyways, these two are not exactly a Priyanka Georgina kind of love, but it's something. Nicki Minaj and Cardi B have called a truce. It's about time. Should I call first? I can't decide. I want to, but I got pride. Two queens of hip-hop have ended their longtime feud against one another this past week, and they've spoken up on multiple social media platforms to say they're only going to focus on positive things from here on out. Thank you, ladies. I hate seeing this kind of stuff, so I'm so glad the beef is squashed. I just hope
that it is. Because I'm just on, like, a very selfish level. I'm just tired of hearing about it mm-hmm. because it's just, like, I'm really over it. So I hope it's over, and I hope I don't have to read about it. But
it's so silly.
If it is, make it good, girls.
How do you plug up your whole Instagram grid with hate? You know, like, there's so many bigger mm-hmm. things happening in the world. Are you paying attention, my friends?
I'm probably the devil's advocate here because I love rap drama.
Like, bring it on!
I love it, but like this one in particular, it was just like, it just made me mad because I felt like the entire time they weren't getting to the point of what they were fighting over, and it wasn't getting hardcore enough for me. So I'm just like, okay,
that's
stop
true,
throwing
because
shoes
you know what?
At each
on
other
one hand,
and like get back to
why
work.
Why do we like the beef when it's like guys, but when it's girls, we feel like it's girls not supporting girls. That's well, true, yeah. Arthi. Good point.
So for me, like, I'm a hip-hop fan, and part of hip-hop culture is beef, right? Yeah. It's making diss tracks. It's kind of throwing your enemy under the bus. But the thing with Cardi B especially is if anyone was a fan of Cardi B before she even got famous, this is what she did. She would go on Instagram, mm-hmm. post like 12 videos in a row complaining about yeah. something. And this is sort of where, for me, this is one of the reasons I liked her, is because she was just so real. She's just so upfront. But when you get someone like Nicki Minaj involved, I was waiting for a track. I'm like, okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Drop a track. Yeah.
Like, stop throwing shoes. Drop a track. Get in the studio, record some lines, and like, let's hear it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mic drop.
Yeah. True. Speaking of real, you talked about, you know, Cardi B's pretty keeps it real. A lot of people say Busy Phillips keeps it real. She's the new female face in the late night talk show circuit, and her show premiered this week, Busy Tonight.
Guys, everybody's so busy. You're so busy. I'm busy. No, seriously, I am busy. That's like actually my name.
And first guest was Mindy Kaling. Guys, I wanted to love this show. I didn't. Have you guys been watching it?
I haven't watched it, but what about it did you not like?
I didn't like the set. I didn't like how casual it was. I didn't like Busy trying to be my best friend. And like, she was almost trying to be so your regular girl. But I'm like, Mindy Kaling's not my best friend. And Vanessa Hudgens, like, your friends are celebrities. Like, I felt like it was too earnest.
Mm.
I don't know.
I think I'm just really tired of seeing sort of the same faces in the late night circuit, and I think we see it with men too, and we know like Hasan Minhaj is just really something on Netflix and people are just so obsessed with it, and I think in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see Mindy on her own show.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like a late night show.
I would
show?
Like to see. Yeah.
I would love to see that.
So that's what we are asking for. Mindy, come out with your own show, please. But as always, lots to discuss. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, we're going to ask Arthi some questions about a very special project that she co-founded, the Didi Hood. Cultured returns after the break on Global News Radio 640 Toronto.
Welcome back to Cultured on Global News Radio 640 Toronto.
We are back with Cultured on Global News Radio 640 Toronto, brought to you by Canada Dry Club Soda. Joining us today is guest host Aarti Patel. She's an award-winning senior lifestyle reporter with Global News, focused on covering topics of wellness, relationships, trends, and stories around diversity. If you wanna say something, say it now. She is also the co-founder of The Didihood, a collective of South Asian women in creative fields. Hey, Aarti. Well, you've already been with us for the last few segments, but now we're flipping the script and asking you some questions. Starting with, I want to ask you, as a diverse journalist, I feel like the lens is different, right? Like, we see things from the narrative of how we've grown up and our eyes as people of color. So how has that informed the storytelling that you do and the coverage that you do as a journalist?
I think for me, that was always a very important factor, mostly because my route getting into journalism was obviously very traditional. I went to school, I got an internship, I got a job. But the hardest thing for me was I never could talk to anyone about it. I didn't know any other journalists. I'm Gujarati. There were zero. I still don't know any Gujarati journalists personally. Well, now I do. There you go. But growing up, I didn't. And for me, the hardest thing was to really ask those day-to-day questions because I really had no one to turn to. But I also was feared that I would be sort of pigeonholed as a South Asian journalist. Like, mm-hmm. I got a lot of feedback from relatives. You know, if you go to the news, you're going to work on Omni. You're going to work in some local Indian paper. Nothing is wrong with that. But I always wanted to do something more, and I always thought bigger. So, you know, fast forward all these years later when I started working in newsrooms, I quickly realized the need for diversity in newsrooms and also the aftermath when you don't have it. So I became often in newsrooms the only person of color. Forget being South Asian, I was the only person of color. And people would ask me all kinds of questions that had nothing to do with me or my background or my parents or anything that I even knew at that point. So I realized when stories are being made and calendars are being made and, you know, shows are being discussed, it's important to have people of color in those spaces, because when you don't, you see the result is a lot of backlash. Mm-hmm. And not to say that it happens all the time, but even our opinions of what we think about communities and what we think about people, those are formed by mainstream media. Mm-hmm. So if mainstream media doesn't have a good scope on it, people are going to get a lot of wrong ideas.
Mm-hmm. The only way to do it is to hire more diverse people. Let's talk about the Didihood and how that came about.
So the Didihood means sisterhood in different South Asian languages. And for us, it's an idea that my two friends and I had when we were in university, actually. So we sat on it for 6 years. We didn't do anything. We wanted to do a podcast, a magazine, a website. We just really couldn't figure out how to really do it. And now that we were all, two of us work in the industry, we have sort of a network, and we realize that there's really no space for South Asian women specifically. Mm-hmm. And there still is a lot of sort of a gap between our parents and our family members and even our mentors kind of telling us what journalism or the media or any creative industry is like. And there's really no bridge there. So we wanted to sort of make that bridge. So this year, in April, we launched Didihood in Toronto, and it is based on networking, mentorship, and sort of social. So just getting a bunch of South Asian women together to meet each other, have friends. And what we quickly realizes how much this was needed in our community. And I, you know, maybe took this for granted because one of my best friends is South Asian. She's also a journalist. So if I ever had a question about journalism, I would just go to her. And when I realized there were other women who didn't have that, it was sort of almost a slap in the face of reality.
Yeah.
That there's a lot of women, you know, not just in Toronto, but everywhere, who don't have that support. So we actually launched in Vancouver as well in August. And that crowd there is completely different than here. So
awesome.
It's been amazing to see it grow because we're not that new, old.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even been a year yet, but we have seen, you know, quite the organic growth.
Yeah. And you'll be surprised. Like, I think I wish it was there when I was making that decision.
So I'm aging myself. But 20 years ago, when I was deciding where to go, I wanted to do journalism. But my dad said, you know what? There's no South Asians telling the news, reporting the news. Let's stay away from it and do something safer. And so I did.
That was 20 years ago, and literally nobody was at that time. So I didn't. I went to Schulich and I did my degree in marketing. But that fire in me to do journalism never ended. And I did a second degree then in journalism because I still had that passion. But if I had something like the Didihood then, it's huge to have those mentors and role models, because people should, like you said, we need the representation. And I wanted to ask you something about that. You know, for you, you said it is so important to inspire young South Asians to work in media. But like you said yourself, you had a hard time finding those people. So where did you draw inspiration from?
For me, I think it really came to when I was actually in university. I think I had a professor who was South Asian at that time. You know, she spent years working in New York. She covered a lot of lifestyle stories. She had a really, really cool job in my mind, I think. So I really wanted to sort of work with her. But I think everyday inspiration for me personally just came from people around me and a lot of people who aren't in journalism. So a lot of my story ideas, which I think were my best story ideas, came from talking to my friends, you know, at the Mundare, or talking to my friends like on my street and really asking people, you know, what kind of coverage do you think is missing? Because those are the stories that I think really make good news.
Mm-hmm. And so I just want to ask you really quickly, things have changed, obviously, since I was in school. But do you think that we're seeing enough representation in Canadian media?
I think things have definitely changed, but I don't think they are as diverse as they should be. Like, I've worked in several newsrooms now, both sort of mixed, very legacy brands where you have people that have been there for ages and very like new media brands. And I still think there needs to be a lot of change. And I don't think those changes will happen unless people of color are getting to those management spots where you have the responsibility and the opportunity to hire other people of color. Because I think that's the biggest gap here. We work in an industry where you get hired because you know somebody. Well, if you don't know somebody because you don't have that network, how are you ever going to move up?
Preach, sister.
So where can we find out more information about your work and the Didihood?
For sure. So for Didihood, you can follow us on Instagram. It's at Didihood. And we are actually hosting a workshop for students and recent grads in 2 weeks on November 14th in Toronto at Ryerson University. So if you want to apply, just check out our site and you can apply there.
Thank you so much, and congratulations on all of the amazing things that you've been doing in the past little while. We have to take a quick break, but when we return, we are going to talk about food, one of my favorite topics, entertaining and all that yummy goodness around Diwali with author Jasmine Dea. More cultured after this on Global News Radio 640 Toronto.
This is Cultured on Global News Radio 640 Toronto.
We are back with Cultured on Global News Radio 640 Toronto. Jasmine Dea is an author, lawyer, and founder of the lifestyle website JD in the Kitchen. You know, just your average superwoman. Boy, I think you know who run this house. She recently released her first cookbook, JD in the Kitchen, Indian Appetizers and Chutneys. In it, Jasmine shares recipes for delicious Indian appetizers and chutneys with East African influence to inspire both novice and experienced chefs to experiment in the kitchen and bring out their culinary creations to life. I know this is something I could use because I'm not the best in the kitchen. So, Jasmine, I'm excited about this conversation and welcome to Cultured.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you so much for that kind introduction.
Oh, you're welcome.
I think for starters, maybe just tell us what inspired you to create JD in the Kitchen.
JD in the Kitchen is an amazing passion project and has really taken on a life of its own beyond what I had originally anticipated. So it started off as a cookbook that I wanted to do with my mother. And my mom is an amazing cook. Her food is loved by so many. It's so delicious. The only problem is you can't stop eating, which as I get older is getting a little bit more problematic in the midsection. However, you know, I wanted to help realize her dream and put together a cookbook. Also, going back to my grandmother, she also was a fabulous cook, and I used to get recipes from her when I was a teenager and write them down. And so when I look back, I think I'd been working on this project for many years, but it didn't materialize until recently.
Very cool. And I mean, I have your cookbook and I've looked through it and a little nervous to try things out, but you lay it out in a way that even a non-cook like me can
figure it out.
I can figure it out. And with Diwali coming up, this seems like the perfect time to try these. So how can people prep for entertaining for the holidays? And why is food so important around Diwali?
Well, let's take a step back first and talk about my website for just a sec. So we talked about how I thought of this cookbook idea and how I wanted it. But the reason I have this website, JD in the Kitchen, is because many of my friends were wondering, how are you working every day? I also have three kids. So how are you working every day as a lawyer? How do you have all these children running around and you're making dinner? And I told them it's because I have really simple recipes. I'm not making huge, elaborate meals, multi-course meals every night, but I have some really fun family favorites. And so if you go to my website, you'll see tips and tricks on how to make meals fun, such as, for example, meal planning. One of the things that I love to do with my family, and I actually involve my kids on the weekend, is say, okay, what's our menu for the week? And we come up with all our meals for dinners, and then we go to the grocery store and we'll pick things up and we might try something new on, you know, a Sunday evening. So it's about involving my kids and family. And your question about why is food so important, I think in our culture as a whole, not just with Diwali and the celebration, but our culture is so much about food and family. And I think that food really brings family and friends together. We all get together at the dinner table or around the kitchen table, wherever you are. And it just is a way to unite people.
That is so amazing, and I'm so hungry already. But I'm curious to know what your favorite Diwali meal would be.
Okay, so I do have to admit that I'm not Hindu, so I don't celebrate Diwali. But as a proud Canadian and our diversity in our country, as you know, we embrace all cultures and religions. And so in that way, I've experienced Diwali. And I think the sweets are the best part. And that you will see the sweet dishes in one of my books that are coming up shortly. So this is a series. The first one is appetizers and chutneys, but I will have the sweet dishes coming out.
Oh, exciting. Mm-hmm.
You were talking about sort of listening to your grandmother talk about recipes and your mother. And that's something that I think about all the time, too. Like, I think my mom is the best cook in the world as well. But I'm afraid one day that I won't be able to replicate these recipes. So if you're the person is also thinking about this, do you have any tips on, I mean, obviously you made a book, but that may not be practical for someone like me. But I have a friend who records her mom actually now making food every day. So one day she can go back and do it herself. So maybe is there anything that you can recommend for us to do?
So I actually really learned how to cook when I went away to university. So I was away from home and I was craving, you won't believe this, I wanted chicken curry. And I was like, where am I going to get this? I was in Dallas. So I called my mom and she thoroughly explained how to cut the onions and how to fry the onions, how to make this curry, how to make it all happen. I think that the only way to really learn how to cook is to get in the kitchen and do it. Mm-hmm. So I think the courage of doing it and realizing that it's really an art. There's no mathematical formula. There's no right or wrong. If you cause a fire, that could be, you know, wrong. But otherwise, I think just getting in there and experimenting and having fun with it is the way to go. And I think that recording with all of our wonderful devices these days, that's great. I take so many pictures of my mom cooking and videos, and I'm trying to play with the slow-mo feature. I haven't mastered it yet, but I'm working on it.
I'm definitely going to get myself into the kitchen after this. And for all of you wondering, Jasmine's cookbook is now available on Amazon. Where can we find you online?
All over the place. I've got www.jdinthekitchen.com. If you go to jasminedea.com, you'll see all my different companies.
Amazing. When we return, we go from food to fashion and beauty. We're talking to Priya Mullick from Beauty Cubed on the latest Diwali style trends. More cultured after this on Global News Radio 640 Toronto.
You're listening to Cultured on Global News Radio 640 Toronto.
We are back with Cultured, brought to you by Canada Dry Club Soda. Toronto-based fashion and multidimensional beauty blogger Priya Mullick has been featured in BuzzFeed and The Kit, among other publications. She's collaborated with countless fashion and beauty brands to bring us the latest finds. And today, she's here to share some of her style insight with us. Welcome to Cultured, Priya.
Thank you for having me.
So, let's talk.
So let's talk first about some of your favorite fashion trends for Diwali this year.
So right now, I think saris are making a huge comeback. I think, you know, we had our moment with langas. I still love langas. They're super practical, but there's just something about that timeless elegance and that traditional flair of saris. And what I love about saris is that, you know, you'll see with Sebastiachi right now, he's got that floral print. But what I love about saris is that they never really go out of style. You've got that Satyapal design. They're really unique and vibrant and colorful. And my mom has a Satyapal sari that's super old. I have one that's 10 years old. Anytime I bring it out, everyone always asks me, wow, I love your sari. Where did you get it from? My first sari I ever wore was a vintage sari. It was my mom's. A cute story behind it. My dad, when he first started dating my mom, they had a love marriage. He actually surprised her and said, I'm going to take you out to a 5-star restaurant. My dad had hookups. I don't know how. And he bought her a sari. He's like, I want you to wear this. And that was the first sari I ever wore. So, like I said, timeless elegance. You can borrow one from your mom. And these days, it doesn't matter. The blouse doesn't have to be that perfect fit. It doesn't have to be the blouse piece. You can repurpose sari blouses from other places or go into Sirens and just buy a really cute crop top and make it work.
That's true. I love the mixing of, like, you know, a Western top with a sari. And, like, right, you guys have to look on our socials because the studio is decked out Diwali styles today, but we have a Mani Jassel blouse hanging on Sandy's mic. And Mani Jassel is a perfect example of mix and match. So tell us about that, because I think that's a big trend.
Yeah, and so one of the reasons I brought Mani Jassel's pieces is, you know, she's doing great. I love her work. But she really is kind of pioneering that mixing and matching. As Indo-Canadians, we don't get that many opportunities to wear Indian clothes. And it gets really, really expensive, at least for me. And so what I've started to do is I've started to buy some basic pieces, kind of treating them like pants and skirts, like a black langa bottom, a gold langa bottom. And I'm mixing it, matching it with other langa tops and buying some staple dupattas. So in the studio today, I also brought a poppy lane dupatta. They're so beautiful. You can pair them with, you know, you can pair it with a black langa bottom, maybe a sort of past coral pink blouse, and throw this dupatta on. And I've also brought these beautiful, vibrant accessories from Bangles. I'm obsessed with their thread collection. So sometimes you don't need all the work. You can just have some basic pieces and flare it up with a beautiful dupatta and some beautiful jewelry pieces, which is actually what I've been doing lately. I've even been investing in some basic silk and raw silk salwar suits and doing just that, buying beautiful dupattas and accessorizing.
Yeah. Do you know what I do, guys? Like, looking at these earrings, like, I wear a lot of my Western wear, and, like, I love showing that pop of Indian. Like, I'll wear Indian earrings. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll wear bangles with my Indian outfits. Like, I would totally, like, rock these pink earrings with my outfit I'm wearing right now.
Yeah, you guys know me. I'm the girl that'll go with a lenga and sneakers and a t-shirt.
Yeah, man,
and
you go, like, with a Raptors jersey and a lenga.
Yeah, we do.
You
but that's what's fun.
I love that.
That's what I love about this Indian Indo-Canadian, right? It's about expressing yourself. And as Indo-Canadians, that fusion and and combining the different cultures, it's a lot of fun. So have fun this Diwali.
I think we're seeing that a lot more than ever. Like, when I was young, I was always embarrassed to wear Indian clothes. Like, I would never want to leave my house wearing Indian clothes. And now I'm seeing these girls on Instagram with, like, jeans and sneakers and their, you know, their Raptors jerseys. And they're just combining all this beautiful stuff that I've always loved but never really appreciated, I think. So it's, to me, even at this age, it's really nice to see all of this fusion happening.
One thing that I've been incorporating a lot is that traditional round bindi. I'm obsessed with it. I feel like it brings out the symmetry in your face. And when I was younger, I hated it. But I don't know, lately, I'm very drawn to traditional Indian looks as well. So as much as the fusion is beautiful, I'm also drawn to that traditional Indian garb, like the way Sonam Kapoor. I feel like that's her style, and I love it. I love her aesthetic. It's very traditional Indian.
Mm-hmm. we're such a diverse city, and you know, it's not just Hindus like we were talking about at the beginning that are celebrating Diwali. There's so many people that, you know, want to be part of this and want to celebrate. And so, you know, and fashion and accessories is one way that you can feel like you're part of this and celebrating. So what would you be your advice for somebody that is not South Asian to sort of dabble into some of these things?
I feel like henna is always a great starter. Mm-hmm. Any non-Indian person you meet is obsessed with the concept of henna. You know, maybe those tattoos, like they're not necessarily henna tattoos. They're not like henna, but you know, those tattoos that have those henna designs, you can maybe incorporate those. Those are really big. People incorporate in Coachella. Why not incorporate into your jeans, your dresses? I think that's really pretty and fun.
I love that. So thank you so much for coming out. And first of all, dolling up our entire studio with Dive, bangles, jewelry, dupattas, and like blouses, everything. Thank you so much. We do have to take a quick break, but more Cultured after this on Global News Radio 640 Toronto.
Welcome back to Cultured on Global News Radio 640 Toronto.
We are back with Cultured. So ladies, this was a fun episode. And like, seriously, look at it. Global News Radio 640 Toronto. I have never seen the studio so festive and like with bindis and diyas. Like, it makes me feel so good that the studio is this cultured. And now we have tips on food. We know what to eat. We know how to entertain. We know what to wear. What are we going to do? What are you guys doing this weekend?
For us, Diwali has been very traditional for the most part. So, you know, we light candles, we invite family over, we have food exchanges. For me personally, the food is the best part. So much of Diwali is also about making things that your mom never likes to make during the year. So for me, it's going home that weekend and just stuffing my face. But my parents are also very, very, very keen on the spring cleaning aspect of Diwali. And maybe this is a Gujarati thing, but for us, it's everything is cleaned out. Your closet's cleaned out. It's so like spring true, cleaning right? in the fall. Really doesn't make sense for me because summer makes more sense. But for us, it's a full clean out. Even when I was younger, you wear new clothes. So
the new Diwali outfit.
Because I think a lot of Canadians don't know, but especially for my family, like Diwali is like our Christmas. Like it is the biggest celebration of the year. You know, we don't treat it like a traditional Christmas where it's a lot of gift exchanges and, you know, time off work. But it is still a big deal. And I don't think I realized as much of a big deal as it was until I got a little bit older.
Yeah, I think it's like the equivalent of Vaisakhi for Sikh families. Sure. Yeah. I think this year, so as I mentioned in the beginning, we celebrate Bandi Chhod on the same day as Diwali. So we'll be eating just like you guys and going to the Gurdwara, lighting some candles. And I've this year spent a lot of time talking about Bandi Chhod. And I recorded a video, did some like content creation for Diwali. So I'll be busy dropping that this whole week. And sharing like tips and fashion tips and more just like about what Diwali means for the Sikh community.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah. I think it's changed since having kids, it's really changed for me because now it's very important that it's not just about me holding on to these traditions. I want to pass them on. And as somebody that's married to somebody who's not Indian, it becomes even more important because I want my husband to know those traditions because I want him to feel part of that and for us to together pass them on to our children. So it's both on the religious side. My parents have always done Lakshmi Puja. So I want them to be part of that, my children to see that. But then also like, you know, the fun aspects in terms of, you know, we'll do the, the sparklers, right? Like I like them to do the fireworks and the sparklers and see that fun aspect of it. And like now my kids know they see the little diyas and we'll light diyas through the house. And I want them to know like this is an important holiday that we celebrate. And yes, we celebrate Christmas and Thanksgiving and all these other things, but this is something that's really big for our family.
Yeah, I think it's something that I think about. I mean, I don't have a family, but that's something that I also think about all the time.
We're family.
I mean, my own family in that sense, where like one day I will be that one who's teaching, you know, these kids certain aspects of my culture and things that I want to keep. And, you know, I talk to my friends all the time. We always joke, like, in 15 years now, when our kids are getting married, we're not going to know anything. We're not going to know, you know, the prayers to do or the songs to sing. Yeah, like, let's go on YouTube and pull it up. Yeah. Because it's so different now. This generation, we take in a lot more.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And, guys, so just wanted to let you know, if any of you guys are looking for things to do for Diwali, there's so much out there that's happening. The Indo-Canada Arts Council has a ton of events planned for Diwali, from Razzmatazz to Light Up Toronto, Diwalicious, Mississauga, Brampton, Etobicoke, tons of things all across the city. Check out what's happening for you at canadadiwali.ca. Tons of cool ways to get culture Diwali style.
Amazing. But it's almost time to wrap up. So we want to give a huge shout out to Aarti. Thank you for guest hosting with us. And thank you to all of our awesome guests as well. We loved having all of you here. And of course, always a huge kudos to our cultured crew and technical producers.
That's right. And next week, right here, 8 p.m., we will be back with so much more to chat about. We are talking Real Asian International Film Festival and getting down with a Motown legend as well. Make sure you tune in, and you can listen online anytime. Subscribe on Google or Apple Podcast and stay connected with us on social media at culturedkultur.d, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Tell us what you like to hear on the show. We want to know what you guys want to know. And stay connected. Have a great night. Happy Diwali. And
stay cultured.